Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're off to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline, and we're joined by Dennis Manilov, super friend of the show, from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hi, D-Man, how are you?
Gentlemen, doing well.
All right, first question for you. Are you one of the two people that did not vote for Corey Kluber for Cy Young?
Well, I didn't have that vote. But I would have. Yeah, I would have voted for Kluber, of course.
And no surprise, but maybe the only surprise was what a landslide it was for him to win the honor.
A little bit, yeah. His teammates helped him out with those two performances against Sale. And Kluber turned it on down the stretch anyway. So good for Kluber. Two Cy Youngs. It's just a remarkable accomplishment, and he should be thrilled.
All right, so what happened against the Yankees? Sorry.
I don't know if we'll ever really get the full story. I guess I'll buy that something was off physically. Maybe that was the case going into the series, and that's why they had to shuffle. That's why Francona had to shuffle. You don't want to say it too loudly. That's why Kluber didn't talk about it, because it sounds like, excuses. I think Kluber would say, hey, I got beat,
Right.
And the Yankees did a nice job against me, and that's unfortunate because he is now a two-time Cy Young Award winner, but he wasn't able to deliver in the division series. But it happens. There's a guy by the name of Clayton Kershaw who, along with Kluber and Max Scherzer, those to me are the three best pitchers in baseball. And Kershaw has had his issues in the postseason, has not pitched in a World Series, and Scherzer has not exactly done well. I mean, I don't know what his final numbers are, what his numbers are in the postseason, but he hasn't pitched in the big stage. I don't believe. I'm not positive that but I don't think he's pitched in the World Series either. So it's not easy to succeed in the postseason.
Dennis, finish this statement for me. Corey Kluber is the best Indians pitcher since. I have a name in mind.
Over a sustained period, I'll say CC. The best season that I saw would have been Cliff's Cy Young season. But over a sustained period, I'll go with the best pitcher since CC Sabathia on the Indians. And by the way, I don't have any sourcing here, and I don't have any contacts with Kluber's camp. But the Indians have got to start wondering when the knock's going to come on the door, because Kluber's got how many more years left on his deal?
On a sweet deal for the team.
What's that?
On a sweet deal for the team.
Yeah, and we all understand. The player knows it. There's no, threat being made when he signs his name. He wants the security, and so they understand the deal. But when you win a second Cy Young on a club-friendly deal, I don't know. I'm just saying the Indians should probably be prepared for something soon from the management team of Kluber, saying, hey, is there any way we can start to look into a potential reconfiguring of this?
Yeah, your CC Sabathia thought, I think, is a good one. I was even going to take it even further back to maybe Sam McDowell in the mid-60s, and before that, maybe even Bob Lemon. I think he's been that good, Dennis.
Okay, you're talking about... Okay, all right.
The best pitcher we've had since who?
Elite level.
Yeah,
okay.
I think, McDowell dominated, Lemon dominated, Corey dominates.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair. That's good. That's a good one there. You're taking Kluber's level above Sabathia's, which is a fine, comment to make. All right, that's good, yeah. Yeah, those are solid guys for sure.
All right, D-Man, let's talk a couple more questions.
Remarkable run.
Yeah, a couple more questions about the Indians for you. Carlos Santana ends up where? And who ends up playing first base for the Indians next year?
But Santana will wind up somewhere not in Cleveland. I don't know where. I had said all along that if he was allowed to get out of here after the exclusive rights window, he's going to be signed by somebody else. He the qualifying offer, of course, he wasn't going to accept that. Obviously, you're hearing things about Boston. I think Boston's plan A is Hosmer, but a really good plan B would be Santana. But there's plenty of suitors, I think, for Santana, so he will be playing somewhere else. I don't know exactly where. Who will play first base for the Indians? Boy, that's a great question, Andy. That's why you're
a lot of talk about. A lot of talk about Brantley. If this doesn't work out, if Bruce is not there, and what are they going to do with Chisenhall? And I think it's interesting.
I don't think even they know right. Well, I'm sure they had a plan. I'm sure they said, okay, if we can't get anything done with Santana, this is our fallback plan. Maybe they have an eye on somebody on the free agent market that we haven't heard about. That they think they can get, at a club-friendly deal or a lower contract. There could be the in-house solutions. Brantley might be in the mix, depending on his health. But I think there's a ton of question marks. It's really hard to tell at this point what their move is. Maybe they don't want to tip off anybody as to what their move is because, again, they might have their eye on someone. And they don't want to let that be known yet.
Dennis is, and I haven't heard a whole lot mentioned about him. He's obviously healing up from last year's injury. Bradley Zimmer in center field, leave him alone. That's it. Done. Finished. End of story.
Yeah. I mean, I could certainly see a platoon potential to at least until he gets, established, the same sort of template they use with Chisenhall, and I think Zimmer's a more advanced bat at his stage of the career than Chisenhall was, but I could still see a platoon until he feels really comfortable against lefties, and then you turn him loose. And when I think of a platoon mate potentially, Greg Allen, as a guy that maybe opened enough eyes for the Indians to do that, or someone else, but Zimmer is a guy that you think is going to be getting the bulk of the at-bats in center field.
Hey, we've also talked a little bit today, just to switch gears on the Browns with you, the Peyton Manning smoke that's been around town. It's been kind of percolating for more than a month now, but it seemed to pick up a little bit more this week. Are you buying the smoke, and are you hearing anything?
Yes, I am buying it. I've got a pretty good idea. I mean, I can see where it's coming from, and the guys who are talking about it, in my mind, are credible. I mean, they're non-traditional media, but they're credible guys, in my opinion. So I am buying it. There's nothing wrong with that notion, okay? I don't think there's anything wrong with the notion of Peyton Manning weighing his options and potentially – having this opportunity presented to him. I do think that, as long as you're among those like I am who thinks it's true, I think Manning has seen what Elway does. He says, you know what, maybe I want to do this, because he saw it in Denver, and it's like, all right, this could be me as well. So I certainly think it's feasible, and I think the ball is in Manning's court, obviously. In that scenario.
And Dennis, we were chatting about it earlier. There aren't too many places, I think, that would be a natural fit for him. The two teams he played for, the state he lives in, where he went to college, Tennessee, and here, because of the relationship with the Haslams, which gives the Browns a little bit of juice in this thing.
Sure. Sure it does. And, for all we know, he's doing what, Peyton Manning would be expected to do, and that is going over every possible scenario, looking at all the all the binders of information and checking out everything he can and making that ultimate decision. Because here's the thing. As great a player as Manning was, you have to believe that if he's to commit to this, I mean, he's all in. You know, it's not going to be like 1 foot in the pool. I mean, he's going to be diving in to try to be the best that he can be at it. So based on his player template, so that's I think maybe one of the reasons why we haven't gotten any word yet is because he really is contemplating. He knows how difficult and how time-consuming a job it could be.
Dennis Manilof, thank you as always. We always appreciate your time, and we always read you in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Thanks, D-Man.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.